This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, join Ira Flatow on the next Science Friday for a discussion of how listening to music affects the brain, plus the upcoming lunar eclipse. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Now we turn to the story of Josephine Prémisse, who never won the same level of fame as her friends Eartha Kitt, Lena Horne, and Diane Carroll, still an internationally acclaimed actress, dancer, and singer.
Today,
Josephine Prémisse was a cabaret sensation in France in the 1950s, later a star on Broadway. Her stage credits include the first black production of The Cherry Orchard and the musical Bubbling Brown Sugar. She was a glamorous woman who made elegance and style a life project. And she was a mother who in many ways put that role ahead of all others. Josephine Prémisse died in 2001 of emphysema. Her daughter has written a book about what it was like to grow up with such a talented mother. The book is called Always Wear Joy, My Mother, Bold and Beautiful. The author is Susan Fales Hill, and she joins us from our bureau in New York. Thanks very much for being with us on Talk of the Nation.
Neil, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for pronouncing my mother's name so beautifully and rolling the R so magnificently.
Well, we will test it again. Always Wear Joy, the name of your book, it sounds like a life lesson.
It is a life lesson. My mother was one of the most positive people you could ever imagine, and she always put on her face, as in her makeup, and a brave face for the world.
Tell us a little bit about her career. How did she start out?
Well, she started out as a dancer, and she studied with some of the greats. She studied with Katharine Dunham and with Martha Graham. Katharine Dunham, in fact, wanted to put her in her company when my mother was 16 years old. But my mother's father, who was a political refugee from Haiti, was a very dignified man and did not want his daughter to be dancing around on a stage. He had loftier ambitions for her, and he certainly did not see her as a member of a corps. And he said to Miss Dunham, "My daughter dances solo or not at all." And so she was not allowed to take that career step. But she did have her great dance debut at the age of 17 in the first African dance concert put on by Assadata Defora under the patronage of Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt in 1943 at Carnegie Hall.
Now, as a black singer and actress, your mother was in a group of trailblazers. Did she ever talk to you much about that?
Well, yes, and I was around these trailblazers. They were my aunts, my fairy divas, if you will, when diva had a true meaning. So this was part of my upbringing every single day. And if she didn't tell me about things, certainly other people would. I was constantly accosted by people who would tell me, "Do you realize that your mother revolutionized the business?" This is something that Red Buttons said to me. They would talk to me about how she came of age at the time of Jim Crow and yet never let it get her down. That she helped to change the image of women of color, because we have to remember we're talking about a time period in which there were no parts for black actresses, or if there were, you were cut out of the Southern version of the film. And basically you got to play a housekeeper or a native who remained mute. So to be garbed in a ball gown, singing in front of an international audience was nothing short of a revolution.
Now, your mother married a white man, Timothy Fales, in 1958, and you write
Yes.
in your book, it wasn't until you were 5 years old that you realized your parents were of different colors.
Well, yes, this is the thing. You know, people say, "Oh, my God, what did it feel like to be in this multiracial home?" Well, you're not looking through the bars of your crib saying, "Oh, my goodness, my father's Caucasian." That's daddy to you. And so I was five, and I was out one day with Papa, and the cabs were miraculously stopping whenever he would just raise his arm. And I thought, "My God, my father's a magician. When I'm out with my mother, they don't stop." So I went home and I said, "Mommy, Papa's really good at getting cabs, and you're terrible." And that's when she told me the racial facts of life and said, "Honey, there's a little reason for that. Have you noticed? Mommy's a different color." And she explained what color meant in our society.
Now, you describe her as a diva, but in many ways your book is an anti-mommy dearest story. It's about a famous mother who did, in fact, find the time to be a mother.
Exactly. Well, diva has become a dirty word, unfortunately. It stands now for a petulant, spoiled woman who mistreats the limo driver. But in my view, it's about a magical woman. And yes, my mother essentially sacrificed her career to take care of my brother and me and to remain married to my father. When my parents first got married, she was on the verge of superstardom. She was in a show called Jamaica, which starred Lena Horne on Broadway. And she got the greatest rave reviews. And she, rather than continue her career here, she moved to Rome with my father. And gave up 6 years of career building, and then had, when we returned here, had to, in a way, start from scratch again.
Now, you say sacrifice. Was it difficult for your mother, do you think?
Well, this is, again, getting back to the title, Always Wear Joy. If it was a huge sacrifice, she never emphasized that. She was not one of these martyr moms constantly telling you, do you know what I gave up for you? As an adult, I realized, my God, if she hadn't made this and that choice, she would have been in this place in her career. She always said, you and your brother are the best thing I ever did. But when I look at her career and the span of it and what she was capable of as an artist, I question that. So she took great joy in being a mother. And I don't think she regretted any of her choices.
And never put it on you.
Absolutely not. Never, 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 never. And she used her talents for performing at home.
Now, I wanted to read one of your mother's quotes that you have in the book.
Yes.
Why is everyone around here so proud of buying their clothes at a rummage sale? Now, that tells us a little bit about her.
Well, this was a reference to my father was from a very traditional WASP family, and we would go out to visit my grandparents in Gladstone, New Jersey, which is a very beautiful part of New Jersey. But there, there's an emphasis on understatement, shall we say, and people have a lot of money, but they pride themselves on not showing it. So this is a reference to the fact that people enjoyed a sort of shabby chic out there, and that's not something my mother approved of.
No, and it also says something about her approach to fashion. That ball gown looks just fine on her.
Exactly, and we have to also remember that for a woman like her, clothing were not just, it's not just a way to spoil yourself. It was a way to express who you were in a world that didn't allow you to be who you were. Hmm. She couldn't always go into certain places. She couldn't get served in certain restaurants. She couldn't get certain parts, but she could always dress magnificently. And so that was her form of self-expression and her form of explaining to the world who she was and exercising her freedom.
Another quote from the book, things don't just happen, things happen just. What does that tell us about your mom?
That she accepted, she wasn't a martyr and she didn't complain and she didn't blame other people, that she accepted her fate even when it wasn't fair, even when she didn't get jobs that she should have gotten, even when she fell ill with this horrible disease, emphysema, even when her marriage broke up. She just moved on and she accepted it and she made the best of it, whatever the circumstance was, and always found a way to laugh in the bleakest circumstance.
What's there? You say, give us an illustration, if you will.
For example, there was the night that we had to rush her to the emergency room because she had collapsed in her bed. She had pneumonia and her emphysema was getting bad. And she looked literally like she was dying, and my aunt and I were in the ambulance with her, and her eyes were rolling back in her head. She was semi-conscious, and as we were wheeling her out on the gurney to the emergency room, the EMT kept saying to her, Josie, Josie, and she said to the woman, my name is Josephine. Miss Premise to you. So she had that sort of fighting spirit. And at that moment, I knew, okay, she's not going to die this time around. Mm-hmm. And that was just always her attitude. At another point, about 2 months before she died, we were in a major crisis about who was going to be taking care of her at home because we were losing our insurance that paid for our nurses. And she looked at me one day and she said, I'd like a facelift. And it was one of those, Mom, we're on the Titanic, we're sinking, you want a facelift. But that was her attitude. I will be here tomorrow and I will still need to look good. And that it was that attitude of there will always be a tomorrow and there is hope that kept her going and kept us going as well.
We're speaking with Susan Fales Hill about her book, Always Wear Joy, about her mother. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. You've had a remarkable career yourself in show business, a writer on The Cosby Show, executive producer of A Different World. And
yes.
I wonder, how did your mother influence your professional life?
Well, first of all, she said, if you become an actress or a nun, I'll kill myself. So there were two choices that were automatically eliminated, the church and the stage. At one point in my career, I was working on The Cosby Show, and I had graduated from writer's apprentice to I was a term writer, and I was offered a job on A Different World, which would have been a step up, and it meant moving to California. I didn't want to go, and my mother said I had a boyfriend. I didn't want to leave him, and she said, "You're too young to give up your career for a man, and you've got to go." Hmm. So that was a very important piece of career advice, but also. Indirectly, she influenced it, because when I saw what she and her extraordinary friends went through, not just the women, but also incredible actors like Roscoe Lee Brown and James Earl Jones, I realized I don't want to be on the stage. I want to be behind the scenes where the power is, trying to create roles for these extraordinary people. So that was a very powerful influence.
Still, through you and through her other friends, your mother saw things change a great deal in show business for African Americans.
Oh, there's no question. And when she, I practiced nepotism and cast her in a role on A Different World because I could, and she was good. And when she came to the set, and when her friend Diane Carroll came to the set, they couldn't get over the fact that there were so many young Black people. Not only acting in the show, but working behind the scenes as well, as stage managers, as writers. And they were both really moved to tears. And they both said, well, in our lifetime, we never thought that we would see this. She also got to see some of her friends do some groundbreaking work. Diane Carroll taking over for Elizabeth Ashley in Agnes of God. Diane Carroll playing the lead role in Sunset Boulevard. These were historical moments. And she got to see those, and that's very satisfying. I'm only sad she didn't get to see Halle Berry win the Oscar last year.
Well, you're now a mother yourself, and it's not uncommon for new mothers to say they now understand their own mothers a little bit better. Is that the case for you?
I think I understood her before my daughter came along. What I've come to understand better now that I have a 2.5-month-old is the depth of her passion, because when you see this little tiny helpless creature, you just know you would do anything for them. So that's what I understand better. But I think I understood a great deal about her before I had a daughter, just because she was so extraordinary and she was so loving.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Susan Fales Hill, the author of Always Wear Joy, My Mother, Bold and Beautiful. It's a memoir of her mother, the singer and actress Joséphine Prémisse. Here she is singing On Ne Sait Jamais from the album Joséphine in Paris.
Jamais comme l'amour vient aux amants, comment il fait, ou qu'il s'y prend pour nous tenir dans ses filets, mais tout au coup, c'est merveilleux, il y a des larmes pleines de nos joies, des caresses au bout de nos doigts et du rêve au fond de nos yeux. Ne sait jamais, mais pourquoi chercher à savoir, nul n'a jamais eu ce pouvoir, on oublie tout, quand là mon est, plus rien ne peut nous retenir, et fou d'amour et des désirs, on se dit tant pis, si l'on ne sait jamais.
The singer is Joséphine Prémisse. The song is On Ne Sait Jamais. The album is Joséphine in Paris. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.
on ne sait jamais, mais pourquoi chercher à savoir, nul n'a jamais dû se pouvoir, on oublie tout, quand là mon nez pleure, rien ne peut me retenir, et fou d'amour et de désir, on se dit tant pis si l'on ne sait, tant pis. Si l'on ne sait pas, tant pis, si l'on ne sait jamais.